kitchen, باب تحريم انتزاب الإنسان إلى غير أبيه وتوليه إلى غير مواليه. The chapter on the prohibition of a person ascribing his lineage to somebody other than his father and a slave to other than his master. So person ascribing his lineage that I am the son and son, or I am the son of such and such a person, when in reality he is not the son of that person. Now sometimes why this would happen is a person, he comes from a poor background. His father may be a poor person, maybe a villager. Now he moved and he came into the city. Now if he's going to tell the person that, or the people, that my father was a villager, he was there, he doesn't give a nice impression of the person. So what he does, now he tells some that I'm from this family here. Just in our context to understand, the person is going to say, yes, maybe Dr. Rendri is an example, that the person says that he comes now to a city, nobody knows him. He says, me, I'm not a Khan, I'm a Rendri, I'm Dr. Rendri's son. So now he made his lineage to Dr. Rendri, for example. This is an example. What will happen now? People will say, this person is from a upper class family, he's from a higher class. So now he's shown more respect. But what has this person done? He's shown disrespect to his own father. That person who brought him up, grew him up, his lineage was to that person. It doesn't matter he's a poor person, he's from a village, he's a villager, he comes from some place in India, maybe the language is different. It doesn't matter. But Islam says you must respect that. The person was your father. Don't say that somebody else is your father. And it was a common practice in Jahiliyat, if one person were to adopt another person. So it's an adopted child. So when he's an adopted child, now what he would do, he would say the adopted father, or the father that had adopted him, the father that had adopted him, now that's his lineage. He'll forget, he won't say that his lineage is going to, or they won't say the lineage is going to the original, the biological father. So Islam is saying, no, that's not the case. Always the lineage must be to the biological father. Take the name and the surname of the biological father. Therefore, when this child is going to inherit, he'll inherit from the biological father, not from the father that has adopted him. Yes, the father adopted him can make wasiyat for him. He can bequest or bequeath to him. There's no problem. But his inheritance will come from his biological father. So Islam gives a great emphasis. The other reason why Islam emphasizes on this is because our marital relations depend upon those that are regarded as mahrams, those that are regarded as ghair mahrams. If a society is such that they can put their lineage or they can link their lineage to anyone, then you'll get a mixed up society. You don't know, you may even marry your mahram because you don't know what the reality of this person is, who's the real father, who's not the real father. So Islam is very, very clear about it, that the respect of the father should always be there, that honor and regard should be there. Similarly for the slave, for his master, this is his master, this is who his lineage is going towards. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man idda'a ila ghayri abihi wa huwa ya'lamu annahu ghayru abihi fal jannatu alayhi haramun, muttafaqun alayhi. As Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who ascribes lineage to someone other than his own father whilst knowing that that person is not his father, he knows that person is not father, but he's still making, he's ascribing his lineage to that person, then Jannat is unlawful for him. Paradise is unlawful. So serious it is for doing this. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la targhabu an abaikum faman raghiba an abihi fahuwa kufrun. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not disown your fathers. Do not disown your fathers. One who disowns his father commits an act of disbelief, an act of kufr. Person may be feeling shy, may be ashamed that this is my father. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, don't do this. Don't disown, don't distance yourself from your father. Don't show a type of resentment that this is my father, so I'm distancing, keeping far away. I'm shy to say that this is my father. Don't do that. Because the person is doing that, it's an act of disbelief. A bit of a long hadith, but the ending part, muhaddithin, as we did before, that sometimes to prove the chapter that they're bringing, they'll bring a whole hadith. We've got different aspects in it, and maybe one part of the hadith will refer to the chapter that they have brought, so that one part will tie up, but yet they'll bring the whole hadith. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought this hadith. Yazid ibn Shariq ibn Tariq narrates, rahmatullahi alayhi, that I saw Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu delivering a sermon from the pulpit, from the minbar, and I heard him saying, by Allah, we have no book to read besides the book of Allah and what is in this scroll. There was a notion that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had extra information. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam secretly told him extra things. People had, after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, There was this notion that was going around. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu cleared it so clearly. So therefore sometimes the Shia say that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had more information about Khilafat and other things. So this is not true. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu in this hadith has cleared it so much that we have no book to read besides the book of Allah and what is in this scroll. In other words, no more information we have than this and the scroll. Now he explains what was in that scroll. He unfolded it and it contained the information of the ages of camels for zakat. And when zakat is given on camels, then it depends on the how many camels a person has got. It depends on the ages of the camels, all that. So this is what is explained in detail. Now which camels to give, at what ages they should be given in zakat, etc. So those were the details. And the compensation for those who suffer injuries. Anybody has got injured. Injured, in other words, one person attacked another Muslim. One, for example, qisas, what is known as qisas. One person cut off the hand, injured a person by cutting off his hand, or broke his teeth, or person may have taken out one limb, or damaged one person's eye, or different aspects. So now, what does Islam explain for this qisas, retribution, this punishment that one person has unjustly attacked another person and has harmed him? What is Islam prescribed as a remedy for that person? And the compensation for those who suffer injuries. In it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Medina is a sanctuary from Ayr to Thor. There's two mountains in Medina Sharif. Ayr, one is Mount Ayr and one is Mount Thor. Between them, it is a sanctuary. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is a haram. So therefore we say the haramain sharifain. One is haram of Makkah and one is haram of Medina. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying it's a sanctuary, it is a haram. Therefore one who initiates an innovation in it or gives refuge to an innovator will earn the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels and the people. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not accept repentance or ransom from him. The pledge of protection given by a Muslim, even the lowest of them, is valid. One Muslim giving another Muslim protection, even it may be the lowest Muslim that's regarded as the most inferior Muslim, even he, if he is giving another person protection, that protection that he is given is valid, it should be respected. One who breaks the pledge of a Muslim. Now what he means by protection doesn't mean that what we understand by protection. For example, one visitor, non-Muslim, happens to come into the Muslim lands. And now this weakest or lowest person who is regarded as the lowest class of Muslim there, psychologically, maybe he's a very poor person, comes from a very family that is not very highly regarded. So he's regarded maybe as the lowest. If he gives this non-Muslim that has come in protection, then that protection, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is valid. It doesn't mean that because he's coming from a low caste, now his protection is not valid. Islam judges everyone by taqwa. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges everyone by taqwa. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining. One who breaks the pledge of a Muslim earns the curse of Allah, the angels and all the people. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not accept the repentance or ransom from him. One who claims lineage. Now this part of the hadith is tying up with this chapter. One who claims lineage from other than his father, or a slave who claims other than his master, earns the curse of Allah, the angels and all the people. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not accept repentance or ransom from him. One last hadith. Nabi Dharin radiallahu anhu, annahu sami'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, laysa min rajulin idda'a li ghayri abihi wa huwa ya'lamuhu illa kafara, wa man idda'a ma laysa lahu falaysa minna wal yatabawwa maqadahu min an-nar, wa man da'a rajulan bil kufri wa qala aduwullahi wa laysa kadhalika illa harra alayhi. Muttafaqun alayh. Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who knowingly claims his lineage to other than his father commits an act of disbelief. One who lays claim to what is not his is not of us. Something is not his, it doesn't belong to him, and he's laying claim, he's making a claim that belongs to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, laysa minna, he is not from us. In other words, he's not from our creed, from our way. He should prepare his abode in Jahannam. For doing this, he should prepare his abode in Jahannam. One who accuses another of kufr, of disbelief, or says, oh enemy of Allah, when it is not the case, it will revert to him. Person is calling another person a kafir, and the person is not a kafir, it will revert to the person that is calling another person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Here we can see how serious it is. One other thing also, people sometimes like to just change their surnames unnecessarily, change it. So this is also something that is not encouraged because of this same reason. Because now a person's lineage will go away from his father, from his family, etc. One is where a person directly tells people, and one is indirectly by a person, people saying his name, he's got some other surname, etc. So this is not something where there is a genuine reason, valid reason, or there is some benefit by him doing this, and there is some genuine great benefit or need, let's put it that way, a need that a person has, then it is allowed. But unnecessarily just to do this is something that is not encouraged. Respect is from Allah, and zillat and disrespect is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person obeys the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter what lineage he comes from, what background he comes from, what language he speaks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him respect. On the other hand, you look at Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, that they came from what a background, Quraysh background. Abu Lahab, he said he was so fair, that even he was described as flames, tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab. Fair he was, he had brilliant lineage, Allah had given him wealth, he had given status, he was the leader of the Quraysh. And also, not only that, he had beautiful Arabic he used to speak. But yet, tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab. And on the other hand, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu was a black Abyssinian, no lineage, was a slave. But Allah Pak had raised him to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, the muazzin of Madinah Sharif, and the first muazzin who had given azan in Makkah Sharif also when they had come. So this is the respect that is given by Allah. It's not dependent on our language, not dependent on our background, doesn't depend on which family we come from. This is what we should put our focus on. Allah Pak give us tawfiq of amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.